Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 2-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. If there was an organization that helped uninsured women get their breast reconstruction after cancer, would you help them? Well, there is. It's called myhopechest.org, and they need your help. They need help with sponsorship, and they need to keep on going. My guest, Alisa Savaretti, talks about her battle with cancer and about myhopechest.org. We're talking to Alisa Savaretti. How are you today, Alisa?
I'm doing great, Mel. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, you know, you and I have found each other in that ever-wonderful world called Facebook.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, and I'm just so grateful, me either,
yes,
to have met you through this. And I think what you're doing with Empower Radio is unbelievable.
Oh, thank you.
Organization, and this is just great. I've been listening to you off and on here since I first met you. So keep up the good work there. You know, as for me, I guess we're talking today because you and I are both breast cancer survivors.
Yes, we are.
And I have gone 6 years, I believe. This is, I never know if you go from point of diagnosis or point of finishing your chemo. But
I think the American Cancer Society says when you're first diagnosed is when you're considered a survivor. So I think point of diagnosis is your starting point. The day that everything changes.
The day that everything changes, yep. Then, oh man, I guess that would be January of 2002.
Wow.
So I'm doing pretty good.
Excellent.
Got all my hair back. Probably lost a few brain cells along the way. You know,
haven't we all?
But at least I can blame that on chemo and age.
Exactly.
At this point in time, right?
And you're considered cancer-free now by all, you know, by the medical standard of after 5 years.
Yes, I am.
Sweet.
So that's a huge milestone, and congratulations to everybody out there that's listening, that is nearing or past their five-year mark. Kudos to the rest of you. You're on your way, and I just encourage everyone to keep their thoughts and promises and hopes to themselves that they're going to get past this and they'll be behind them very, very soon. So
Exactly. Keep
your thoughts positive. But getting into a little bit of my story, I'll try to be as quick as possible. I was 38, working on my own business here. I had moved back from Las Vegas, where I had been living, and working as a showgirl. I worked at the Riviera Hotel, was my last professional job. And that would be with clothes on, just to clarify. Not
did you wear the giant headdress and everything? That's what I
pictured. Wore the big, huge, absolutely.
Nice.
Actually, the finale costume, you can see a picture of it on our website, was probably 3 foot across, round, actually. Yeah, it was very, very big. You actually had to turn your body before your whole head would turn. So it was quite a headpiece to go out on, but that is where I had been living. I moved there in my 20s. I was in the original Moulin Rouge, was my first dance show, and had a really great career. I got to travel all over the world, Japan and Europe and the Caribbean. One of my last jobs out of the country was in Guam, and I didn't even know where Guam was when I started dancing, believe it or not. I had to look on the map. So I had finished working and moved back to Florida because I decided that it was time for me to work on a business of my own. I had been helping in Florida originally with my brother, who was an apparel manufacturer, and decided to go out on my own. So I was working for like 2 years straight, taking a bunch of money off my charge card at a really low interest rate, actually. But, you know, I was determined to launch Retro Home, which is called RetroHome.com. It's furnishings and collectibles from deco to disco.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful website that actually right now is broken, but will be resurrected one day. But anyway, I was going like a year and a half straight working on that when I found my lump. And I was 38, so I really didn't do anything about it. I didn't know what, you know, the lump thing meant. I was focused on a business, and it was only when I told a girlfriend of mine who was a little older than me that I had a lump in my breast when she, you know, freaked out and said, Alisa, you need to go and have it checked. And I'm like, why? You know, I was just really oblivious, you know. I'm
right,
pretty much a kid in my head as it is, but I wasn't really paying attention. So long story short, I ended up going. I was uninsured at the time because I was working on my own business, and I went through the health department to get my mammogram.
Yes.
And
which is, I have to interrupt, which is excellent if you are uninsured. I believe everywhere in the country has a health department or a hospital that could help you out with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And on that note, and thank you for interjecting, if you call any of your community hospitals, a lot of them have what they call breast care centers, and they will know if they don't have a foundation within their own hospital that will pay for mammograms, they will usually know programs that are set up within their community.
Exactly.
I know here in our area, in the St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay area, there's a program organization called the Mammogram Voucher Program.
Oh, sweet.
And they help women that are uninsured, for some of them, all the way through services after the mammo, whether they need chemo, radiation, mastectomy, lumpectomy, and even sometimes including their reconstruction. But more often not. So that's how I found my cancer.
So let me ask you this. You found your lump. How long did you wait until you went to the doctor?
Oh, August, September, October, November.
Oh.
I think 4 months.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was about 4 months.
For shame.
Pardon me?
For shame, Alisa.
For shame. Don't anybody do as I do.
No.
Do as I say. Absolutely. Well, you know, again, the good thing about awareness now is that, you know, younger and younger people, thanks to organizations like the Young Survival Coalition out of New York City,
right,
are aware that we can get it too. I'm too young for this is another organization.
Right, stupidcancer.com, exactly. Matt Zachary does a lot of good things with that as well.
Right. So those guys are all doing good work. So basically, yes, when I finally went and found out and had my biopsy, I you know, my tumor was right under my nipple, so there was no chance of saving my breast. So I was told, you know, that here I am, you know, 38, made a living with my body essentially as a professional entertainer, and now I had to lose my breast. Devastating, you know, is a euphemism, as many women say.
Yes.
So I went through the whole thing. I had 8 rounds of chemo in 2002, had my mastectomy, and the one thing that I would like to say that is something that women hear all the time that I really would like to clarify, especially for those that were uninsured like myself, because it's already enough emotional stress when you're told you have breast cancer and you have to lose your breast.
Right.
Okay. How do I handle that? And now I need to have 2 surgeons in the operating room at the time of my mastectomy. Ladies, husbands, boyfriends, whoever may be listening to this, that is false information. You do not need to have reconstruction at the time of mastectomy. That is an absolute falsity.
Right. But you should always consult with your own doctor on that.
You can consult with your own doctor, absolutely, but what they're not told is that they have, many women are not told that they can have a delayed reconstruction.
Right, okay.
So the information has not been given, oftentimes, clearly because these surgeons are just busy men and what have you, and they need better programs, I think, in place for the, you know, upon diagnosis, is that a woman can deal with her cancer first and then deal with reconstruction at a later date. So, ladies, if you've been diagnosed and you're uninsured, deal with your cancer. My suggestion, just a suggestion, deal with your cancer, and at a later date, you can have reconstruction. Getting back to my journey,
yes.
I couldn't find help after I had my mastectomy. I was going through my treatment, and I'm glad that I didn't have, personally, reconstruction at the time, because I would have had to been going to chemo treatment and then to a plastic surgeon to have my breasts, the expander tissue bags, you know, inflated.
Right.
And that would have been a lot for me, so
I think it would be a lot for anybody.
It's a lot. And some women, you know, they absolutely don't want to spend one day without knowing that their breast has been removed and they're going to be put back on, and I absolutely respect that. But it's the information where women think, oh, my God, you know, what's going to happen if I don't have it fixed at this time, and they don't need to worry about that. But I looked locally, I looked nationally. There was no organizations in America that in 2003, what have you, were in place to help the uninsured woman get her reconstruction.
Really?
So I left Florida. I needed to go back to work. Retro Home had not made any money as far as an income. It was a new business. And although I did launch it during my chemo, I was really steadfast when I felt well to work on that, you know, business.
Right.
I had to go back and find a way to make money. And that, I was provided the opportunity to go back to the Riviera and go back to dancing.
Nice.
It's really a blessing, absolutely. So I got on a plane March the 10th, I remember exactly, 2003, and it was 5 months past chemo. And I went straight from the plane into rehearsal. I was late for rehearsal, started at 2, I got there at 3. And in 6 days, I was back on stage working 2 shows a night.
That's excellent.
It was excellent, but it was the hardest thing that I ever had to do because I had no muscles in
right.
my legs whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So for me, the hardest part of my cancer journey was after
right. oh,
going
yes.
back to dancing.
Well, I think and I don't have the same, you know, obviously the same kind of job that you do, but I think after cancer survivorship is hard because a lot of people don't focus on that.
No, they don't.
Because you're in the, like, treatment bubble, and then it's like back to work, and you know, everybody's different. All the treatments affect everybody different, and survivorship affects everyone different.
Absolutely, and they're just trying to catch their breath.
Right.
And that's just the stories. I mean, many women work through the disease. Mm-hmm. Many women, you know, may not feel up to working.
Right.
But then after, you've got to go, and it's like, it doesn't mean that you're ready. And I also just encourage women just to take one day at a time, and maybe if you're going back to the workplace, you may want to pick a career that's not going to have that much pressure on you right,
right.
away.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to work, and this began a project that would change my life and has changed my life, and it's called My Hope Chest. And My Hope Chest came about as the fact is I went back to dancing, and I had to go back on stage this time minus my breast.
Right. So did you have the prosthetics that they put in the...
Well, it really wasn't even necessary, but mm-hmm. what they did do is they padded my costume. You know,
okay.
we wore, you know, heavily padded bras and what have you. So the audience didn't know that I had one breast, but, you know, I changed my clothes back amongst the women in the dressing room. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean...
That's hard.
You know, it had to be really hard for them. I, you know, had already realized that this is, you know, how I was living right now until I could find help. But it was awkward. It was awkward, I have to say. But I called myself... As a result of it, the lopsided showgirl. And I decided
Love
that,
it.
You know what, I was going to try to do something about my situation and for the other women that had been in the predicament of getting breast cancer while they were uninsured and perhaps having a single or a double mastectomy.
Right.
So I had actually volunteered for Komen for their Race for the Cure. When I got out there and met a group of women that listened to the story and understood that this was a plight that had to be happening by other women, and we began putting together an organization that became a 501c3, and it is called My Hope Chest.
Excellent.
That is what's kept me busy since 2003.
Now, how many women have you helped with this My Hope Chest?
Well, you know what? We've helped a handful of women so far, but what's happened since then is the organization got put together, all volunteers, naturally,
mm-hmm.
Through the help of a women's networking group called the NABO, National Association of Women Business Owners. And we put together our 501c3, and we did fundraisers out in Vegas. We found the plastic surgeon. His name is Dr. William Zamboni. he's the director. I guess that's funny, yeah, for you in the cold with the...
with the hockey, my favorite.
With
yes.
the hockey. I didn't even know that Zamboni was a Zamboni originally, but I did learn that. But he is our good Zamboni, and he's the director of plastic surgery at UMC Hospital in Las Vegas. And he stepped up to the plate and volunteered to do these surgeries for us.
Excellent.
At a Medicaid rate, and he did several of them for free. So that's how the program operates, basically. My Hope Chest does, to clarify now, My Hope Chest became and still is, remains at this time, the only organization in America addressing the uninsured women who has had a mastectomy. We provide for those who desire, because reconstruction is not for everyone,
Right. Free
breast reconstruction for the uninsured. I'm amazed in 2010 that there is no funding for this, whether it's governmental or any other breast cancer organizations, yet there isn't. But we do exist, and since then, it's been 6 years. This is my seventh year running the organization at a grassroots level, Mel. We still don't have paid staff, and it's been very, very challenging. Of course, with the change of the economy these past 2 years, we need so many things to help us get these women's surgeries. The more that we've been out there doing conferences like the Young Survival Coalition and Living Beyond Breast Cancer, which is something you young women may want to attend. It's a great conference that happens annually at a different location all over America. It was just in Atlanta. It's usually in February. Through doing expos and events, we've raised the awareness a tiny bit, in as much as we now have a waiting list of women all over the nation. The American Cancer Society is referring people to us.
Wow, that's a good...
Susan G. Komen is referring people to us. They recognize My Hope Chest as the entity that will help women finally heal from breast cancer, not just in body, but moreover, we feel that reconstruction is the final step in treatment of the disease.
Right. So what you're saying is, like, if someone's listening to this podcast right now and they have the wherewithal, if you were to ask them, like, what exactly would you need for My Hope Chest? Because I know you said you're at your seven-year limit, and after that, you kind of have to move on.
You know, I'm praying that lucky year seven is the year for My Hope Chest.
Right.
We reach as many people as we can get to sustain the organization. We need corporate sponsors. Mm. That's the way Komen and Avon and all
right.
these organizations, they have corporations behind them. We need recognition from television to, you know, any magazine we can get in, that's a women's magazine, the Today Show, Oprah, Ellen. You know, these are the places that we're asking people can write to over and over and over. Did you hear about My Hope Chest? Do you know what they're doing? They have this waiting list of women that need reconstruction. We need surgeons in every state.
Right.
We haven't reached out to all of those states yet at this time because we're really trying to get the organization sustainable, because we ask the surgeons to participate, as I said, one surgery a year at a pro bono, and then the rest at a Medicaid rate, which the equivalent is approximately $10,000.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So for every $10,000 we raise, we can change a woman's life forever. And that's pretty profound. You can see where those dollars go. That said, we're hoping that the sustainability for infrastructure is going to come through grant writing. We need grant writers, through corporations that are going to recognize that a nonprofit isn't a business that runs with volunteers only. It can't. I mean, none of the nonprofits in America that are doing the great work are doing it without a paid staff. So while we want to put all of the dollars we raise through events and donations along those lines into sustaining surgeries completely, that is the goal, we need the legs to stand on through
right.
corporations, individual philanthropy, or what have you, and that's how people can help us.
Wow, yeah. I mean, I was lucky. I had a lumpectomy, and I remember when the surgeon was talking about, you know, they said you could remove your breast if you wanted to, and I was just, you know, thinking like you. I mean, I had insurance, but still I was like, oh, my God, I have to deal with...
If I wanted to, right?
Well, as a precaution,
right.
because of where my lump was, my breast could be saved. But it's like, okay, like you said, you're dealing with, oh, my God, I have cancer. Then you have to do chemo. Then, you know, you have your mastectomy, so they remove your breasts. And basically, as a woman, that's a big part of who you are, whether you want to admit it or not.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, because...
We
you know, I know, I know you
and two breasts. That's the way God built us, and that's the way we're supposed to die.
Right, and we're not. You know, you and I aren't vain people, and it's not like, oh well, I have these breasts and everything. It's like it's just as a part of a woman, it's who you are. It's the same thing with, like, to a lower extent, losing your hair, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
Sure. Well, it makes us feel less than complete, Mel.
Right.
I mean, that's why we say reconstruction is the final step in treatment. Moreover, it doesn't just restore the body, but what it does, and this is what I want to be clear about, this is how we are different than the other breast cancer organizations. We provide this treatment that finally restores a woman self-esteem, her confidence, and her self-worth so that she can put her cancer journey behind her.
Right.
It does come for many women, and I've talked to them and I can attest to it, to restoring her physical body, to restore her mental well-being.
Yes.
So that's why, you know, in case you might not know or others might not know, finally, in 1998, the Women's Health and Cancer Rights Act was passed. Do you know what that is?
No, what is that?
That is where the government has mandated that insurance companies, those of you that have insurance out there, your insurance company must pay for reconstruction. They deemed reconstruction a part of treatment, that it is not a cosmetic procedure. So insurance companies can no longer deny paying for breast reconstruction. So you can go to the website, you can Google the Women's Health and Cancer Rights Act, and it shows by state what it's mandated that insurance must pay. Some states can get away with, I believe, I'm not sure what, not even having to pay for symmetry of the other side. I mean, say a woman's got a D cup and her breast is hanging and she gets a brand new D or C that's in place, she needs a lift on that other side.
Right.
And so everyone can check that out and see if your state is taking care of you or those that you may know in the way that they should. But that great step happened in 1998. Now here we are in 2010, and still we are helping the thousands of women that are falling through the cracks of medical care that they don't have this insurance. And I always say, you know what, lucky are you if you did, ladies, but put yourself in the place of those that didn't. What if you couldn't have had your reconstruction?
Right. And the other thing is if you don't have insurance, like I was talking on another show, another podcast, don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, like
Absolutely.
Going to this, you know, myhopechest.org or even looking online, there's...
Well, we will have a lot of resources on our site, and we do already on our site. We're working on a new website, just so everybody knows. So what you see out there right now is going to be different probably within the month. New, improved, and better. But we do have resources on there. And so does, you know, cancer.org and the Young Survival Coalition and within your own cities to go for the bills that you need to have paid,
right.
You know, outside of that, because we know that women lose their jobs because of this.
Right.
I mean, and all of those issues need to be, be addressed and paid for. I mean, reconstruction is one part of it, and I'm a realist. I understand life over limb. We have to save people's lives first.
Right.
But it shouldn't have to be instead of putting themselves back together.
Exactly, Elisa. So myhopechest.org is the website. If people want to get a hold of you, is your information on that website?
Yeah, they can contact me. I'll just say it right now, info@myhopechest.org.
Excellent.
And the phone number is 727-642-4243. Be happy to help in any way we can, but we were asking for others to help us help them.
Right.
You know, our goal ideally is to have an affiliate in every state, just like the Komen organization. I speak of them highly because they're doing great work in the area of research, one of their areas, and advocacy.
Right.
But we're all very aware of breast cancer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm asking that we, you know, In addition to raise awareness for reconstruction.
I think it's funny when they say, oh, yeah, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I think we're all aware there's cancer.
We're aware of that, you know, and that's why, you know, I would like to see some of those dollars that go into awareness, you know, start to fund other grassroots. I mean, I can say myHopeChest, yes, but another grassroots organization or what have that may be in your town that's helping with bills or something like that, you know. Do something in the grass.
Exactly.
That's what I encourage everybody to do. Whatever your cause, whether it's breast cancer or diabetes or children's, look out to those grassroots organizations where those dollars will make a much more profound impact than some of the organizations that are sustained, that have money for commercials and what have you.
Right.
That's where I think that a good focus going forward here for people that want to get involved and impassioned. And we can use some volunteers. We call them our Hope's Angels. I can email people information on that. We're looking for board members. They can be anywhere in the nation. We can meet by teleconference, that are already, you know, have board experience, that are businesswomen out there. You know, in closing, I just like to say, as long as breast cancer exists, until there is a cure, My Hope Chest must exist for
right.
someone like us.
Mm-hmm.
No woman should have to live without her breast because she does not have the money or insurance. It just shouldn't happen. And there is the means out there. We are 6 degrees of separation from someone who's going to know someone that can help this organization be sustained. So, you know, that's really important information. I'm really grateful that you know, let me share that with your viewers. And I don't know if you have any questions other than...
I don't think so. I mean, we have how everyone can get a hold of you. And, you know, I think your organization is very important. And once we have, you know, once our listeners hear it, hopefully it'll be like that old shampoo commercial. They'll tell two friends and
so on.
And they'll have the, you know, it just takes that one person, like you said, who can get on Oprah.
Anybody out there could be listening and be the link to saving and sustaining this.
Exactly.
Put it on your Facebook. Share it through email. Join our fan page.
Exactly.
And talk about Mel's show. That is your duty today. That's your to-dos.
Elisa's my new PR lady right now.
That's right. You know what? Hey, I believe in only win-win synergies. That is absolutely. And I also believe in the power of women networking together.
Exactly.
I mean, it started this charity. I believe, you know, it and the men. And that's something that I said that we want to help. There's an organization out there that we want to reach out to called the Second Baseman. His name is
awesome.
Dusty Showers. And he's got a lot of followers. He did a lot of work with the Komen 3-day walk, wearing a pink bra and raising awareness. But he's kind of reaching out to the men as well through the Second Baseman.
Men can get breast cancer as well. Which...
They can get it. They absolutely can get it. It's a small percentage, 2-5%. But it is the men that walk side by side with us women going through this. And they are also business owners that can be helping, you know. They have to understand, you know, the difference between, you know, I'm talking about my Hope Chest today, the difference between what we do and the others.
Right.
When someone says, I give to breast cancer, there is no one breast cancer, okay?
Right.
There's lots of us out there, including you.
Yes. Well, I'm not a nonprofit, but...
But you are a voice.
I am
a voice.
Yes.
For all kinds of cancers
that's,
and what have you.
That's
and
why
you
I'm
can
here,
use
yes.
some sustainability, too. There's no reason you can't get help to keep the word and... going syndicated there, young lady.
There you go. That's what we're hoping for. Well, on that note, I'll wrap it up like I usually do. You are listening to The Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Become a fan of the show, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com. You can find me on Twitter at Mel Majoros. Check out my blogspot, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.